Good morning to our listener audience around the globe. This is Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network, circling the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the world. And now, it's time for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show with your host, Ann Wooten Taylor. Hey, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, good morning. How are you, William?
Oh, good, good, good. The weather's beautiful out here on the East Coast. Blue skies and just really nice, very nice.
Well, that's lovely. I'm so glad to hear you talking, you know, positively about your new surroundings. I know that, you know, it's been a hard transition from you leaving sunny California to Virginia, where there are actually four seasons.
Yeah.
Just sunshine all the time.
Well, you know, the weather's changing all over the place because Southern California, they've had record rainfall, snow, and just, yep. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, you do. It's called climate change. Go be mad. They've been talking about it for decades.
I've heard a little something about it, okay?
Yeah, but I'm glad that it's nice out there in Virginia. You don't have to have on two coats and all that other stuff that you've been putting on because you're not used to anything close to 70.
Yeah, that's right. Three hoodies and everything, right?
Three hoodies. Why don't you just get a good big coat, you know, like a wool coat with some nice lining. That'll cut that down. You know, nice hat, you know.
Yeah,
it'll cut that down on all that.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those too. All right.
Well, yeah. I'm through trying to help you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it with your attempt. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, my friend. We got a great show lined up today. You are going to love my guest, Pastor Patty, because the two of you kind of work in the same realm. Pastor Patty, you may remember we had Marie McKenzie on a couple of weeks ago. I guess it's been maybe a month ago that she was on.
I remember.
Pastor Patty is the person who helps Sister Marie with her podcast, because Sister Marie has a podcast now. So two of you have a lot in common.
Well, excellent. Well, I'm going to step aside and enjoy the program.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that, William. Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land. I'm Ann Wooten Taylor, the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, and this is the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries is a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that through our 12-week health and fitness course, which is coming up real soon. For those of you who can't wait, we'll be starting up in August, and we'll keep keeping you informed. We'll keep you informed about when you can sign up for the class. Right now, we're going to continue to have it this particular time on Zoom, so you can sign up anywhere in the world so that you can participate. All right, folks, keep it locked right here. We'll give you more information about it in the coming weeks. Now it's time for your weekly motivation. Your motivation is designed to encourage you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, to inspire you to get up and try again if you've fallen down somewhere along the way. And if you haven't been able to find a reason to get healthy and fit, we want to encourage you today to get healthy and fit through Jesus Christ. So today's motivation is entitled, Don't Lose Sight of the Vision. It's difficult to believe you can attain a healthy weight when the mirror shows you your unhealthy, overweight physique every day. Likewise, you might think it's impossible to stop binging and purging or starving yourself to death too. Notwithstanding, very often, overweight people, and even those entangled with eating disorders, have a vision in their minds of the healthy and fit version of themselves. That vision is born of a desire to reach and maintain their full potential physically, as well as mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. This desire for the abundant life in every aspect of your existence is given by God, although we don't always recognize it as a gift from Him. Nevertheless, Proverbs 29 and 18 teaches us that without a vision, the people perish. We see the fulfillment of this biblical truth all around us every day as one by one, a multitude of husbands, daughters, friends, neighbors, and coworkers lose their lives as a result of an obesity-related disease or an eating disorder. However, failing to eat right and exercise are not the worst things you can do. On the contrary, the absolute worst thing you can do is lose sight of the vision of the healthy and fit version of yourself. When you stop believing it's possible to lose weight and keep it off for the rest of your life, or to finally be free of an eating disorder that's plagued you for years, you basically condemn yourself to die in the same way that a person is convicted and given the death penalty. Hope is necessary to overcome obstacles in your life. Those who lose hope miss opportunities, don't notice the way or many ways of escape God provides, and fail to recognize blessings meant to improve their circumstances. God gives you the vision of the best version of yourself to keep hope burning brightly within you and to spark a passionate desire to succeed. Don't let your fuel run out before you arrive at your destination. Ask God to not only keep the vision of the healthy and fit version of yourself constantly before you, but also to empower you to finally attain the victory of leaving the wilderness of obesity and eating disorders so that you can dwell forevermore in the promised land of healthy and fit for life. If you want God to make your health and fitness vision become your reality through Christ, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Don't forget to read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ. Yes, I did update the blog today. I promise I did. So you guys can go out and read the new motivation out there on you on our blog. And then tune in to our syndicated radio show on iTunes, Spotify, the DFW Den radio station, right here on Studio W Buzz and Victory KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. You can also follow us daily on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest for recipes, diet, and exercise trips. Excuse me, I said trips. Tips. I meant to say tips. Lastly, don't forget to make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody, that is your motivation for today. We hope and pray it encouraged you to stay the course. If you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspired you to get up and try again if you've fallen down along the way, and that it motivates you to get healthy and fit through Christ if you haven't been able to get healthy and fit on your own. So, folks, I know that it's not easy. As a matter of fact, that's the title of the blog post that was entered today, that it's not easy. But you got to keep going. Just because there's a bump in the road, just because you got a detour a little bit, you know, just because you fell down, and you didn't work out when you were supposed to, or you ate a cookie when you shouldn't have, doesn't mean that you throw in the towel. So keep pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling through God and Jesus Christ. Okay. If you don't quit, if you don't grow weary in your well-doing, you will reap the harvest through Christ. All right, everybody. We have an awesome show lined up for you today. Our guest is Pastor Patty. She has had some technical difficulties. She's dropped off, so she's logging back in with us. But while she's getting reestablished, with her connection, I want to go ahead and tell you a little bit about who Pastor Patty is, because she is an awesome, awesome ministry leader. So Pastor Patty Harris has served in ministry for more than 40 years. She's been a pastor for 20 years and a hospital chaplain for 30 years. She's the author of numerous books on grief and bereavement, prayer, and spiritual formation. A passionate psalmist and teacher of the Word of God, conference facilitator, and revivalist, Pastor Patty also served as a crisis trauma chaplain at Ground Zero in New York after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. She served as an associate regional pastor for American Baptist Churches of New Jersey. She's also served as a TV producer and engineer at TCT Christian Television. She currently serves as the executive director of Grief Relief Today Ministries Incorporated, a ministry which serves the needs of grieving persons through books, media, and in-person and online grief supports groups. She serves as CEO of www.wjiltoday, a 24/7 gospel radio station where the mission is to educate, inform, and inspire people to reach their highest potential. Pastor Patty's desire and passion is to help people to heal as well as grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, y'all, she is the author of 16 books. 16. This woman is a prolific writer. You have got to read some of these titles. Just listening to the title of the book makes you want to read them. Prayer Walking, Restoring the Gates of Prayer, Surviving the Death of a Loved One, The Truth About Strongholds. Those are just some of the titles of her books, but she is with us today and we are so blessed to have her. Welcome to the show, Pastor Patty. How are you today?
Good morning. I am well. How are you?
I am doing well. It's a blessing to see your beautiful face again, lady, and to be able to talk to you again.
It's a blessing to see you too. How have you been?
I've been doing well. Look, you can tell that I love Pastor Patty. We talked one time, right? I was being interviewed by Sister Mackenzie, and Pastor Patty and I must have talked about it about 30 minutes after the show. So we had ourselves a really good time because I love pastors who have a passion for health and fitness. So even though we'll be talking about a totally different topic today, I still have to get in a few questions from the pastor who loves to teach her congregation about taking care of themselves, because it's just so rare. I have been a person going to church in the South my whole life. And as you know, the South, we are, in terms of Americans being overweight, we know it's a whole problem with the country, but it's worse in the South. And I think a lot of the problem is that we don't have people like you who are teaching us that God wants us to take care of ourselves. So have you always been an advocate for healthy eating?
Not really. I grew up eating like pretty much everyone else, and I am a Southern girl. Born in Jersey, but my mother was from North Carolina, so I spent summers in North Carolina on the farm with my grandparents, and I loved it. So I'm that Southern girl too. I like Southern cooking. See, you can't just pass the green beans under some water and give them to me and think
I'm going to eat that. No, that's not going to work.
So I've always loved to eat. We love to eat. We love food. And in the church, we always have fried chicken. We always have good food. But an experience happened to me in 2014. I was fasting for Lent. In the first 2 weeks, I did a water fast and maybe some honey and lemon, but that's all I had. And I said, I'll slowly get into eating, but I ate all wheat products, wheat pasta, which I had never had, wheat bread, wheat products. And after about a week, I woke up one night when the Holy Spirit woke me up around 11:45, just said, I was asleep, just said, go to the hospital.
Wow.
And I turned over, everything was moving. My arms
were Right.
I didn't have any pain or anything. And so I turned back over. I just thought maybe it was in a dream. And he spoke again. About 15 minutes later, go to the hospital. And I thought, okay, I had been a hospital chaplain. I thought maybe somebody was there. Then I couldn't get back to sleep. So I said, okay, let me just turn on the TV and watch Golden Girls or something. Mm-hmm. And I turned on the TV and I couldn't see.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I said, this ain't good.
Why? Why?
So then I just, maybe I need to get up and go on to the hospital.
Exactly.
I had a little bit of vision in one eye, in my right eye. Mm. So I called a friend and I said, I'm going to the hospital. I don't know what's wrong. I can't see.
Wow.
So I'm driving down the road.
Yeah.
Can't see out, blind in one eye, can't hardly see out the other. Wow. But I got to the hospital and, you know, most of them were used to seeing me. So they took me in, did the test that they give you, and the doctor came running in with a crash cart and all this stuff. She said, Rev, you're getting ready to have a stroke.
Wow.
Wow. I said, is that why I can't see?
Wow.
My blood pressure was 2-something over 140-something. That's why my eye pressure, you know, your eye pressure should only be about 12, 19-something in that area. Mm-hmm. One eye was 48 and the other eye was 49.
Wow.
The eye pressure.
Wow.
So they worked on me and worked on me to get the eye pressure down, the blood pressure. And it was grueling.
Mm.
Because I've been a hospital chaplain 30 years, but I don't like hospital.
I know, right?
I don't like needles. That's what kept me from becoming a doctor. I don't like the needles and all that. So, I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, is my head going to blow up like it do in cartoons and smoke come out my ear? And he looked at me and said, you got jokes at 1:30 in the morning?
Right.
And
right.
I said, if it's my time to go, I'm ready.
All right. All right.
And a friend of mine was there with me and she starts fussing. It's not your time to go. You got stuff to do. I said, look, if it is, you're disturbing my last few minutes of peace. And I put my music on in my ears, and I said, evidently it's not, because the Holy Spirit told me to come here. So, doctors, exactly. Y'all going to have to do what you got to do.
Right, right. Get it
to
done.
Get my get eye pressure work. Down. And they did. They worked on me, and a Catholic nurse came in. She said, well, Pastor, what have you been eating? I said, well, I've been fasting for Lent. And she said, me too. She gave up soda and candy. I said, you amateur. I gave up everything. And she said, and that's the reason why you're up here in the hospital getting ready to have a stroke.
Wow. Wow.
So, we laughed and, you know, after they kept me about a day and a half and the doctor came in and said, Rev, yeah, you've been eating a lot of wheat. Wheat is not as healthy. Your body is allergic to wheat now. Mm-hmm. I said, I've been eating wheat all my life. I love shredded wheat, cream of wheat, Triscuits. I love. He said, too many products are becoming GMO. And I didn't really know what that was. I said, well, what's GMO? He said, genetically modified.
Yep.
He said, your body can't tolerate the GMO wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of foods. He said, corn, there's so many foods that are GMO now, and your body was reacting to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what started me on this journey of what?
Exactly.
Certain foods we can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 2-3 years, I've really been researching the foods that we eat. And there's so many that's genetically modified.
Yep. About half of the crops are genetically modified now.
And even recently, fake food, that's what I call it.
Right.
Because I started realizing a few years ago, I love flea markets.
Oh my gosh, you and my Aunt Gloria, mercy.
I gotta meet her.
Look, she would get up at the crack of dawn to find the best sales going on, flea markets, yard sales, all of that. And then when we get up, I'm like, I'm not an early bird. You know that.
Farmers markets, because you get fresh fruit.
Exactly.
And fresh veggies. Mm-hmm. And I started noticing in the regular supermarkets a few years ago, I said, what is a seedless grape?
Exactly. And then you have the nerve to call it organic. God puts seeds in
seedless watermelon.
Right, right.
Right. And one time I found seedless cucumbers. I was like, what's going on here? So I started doing more research. They're made in laboratories.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And they're full of chemicals mm-hmm. to make them taste like the real thing. Mm-hmm. When God said, you know, every fruit has its own seed so it can reproduce after its own kind.
Exactly.
So if it can't reproduce, it's not from God.
Exactly, exactly.
And I started scratching my head. I was like, Lord, this can't really be happening.
It's happening.
But it is. And, you know, they're spraying so many chemicals on our food. And I thought of the scripture in Matthew where a farmer went out to, I'm paraphrasing, he sowed good seed, scripture says in Matthew 13. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But while men slept, an enemy came in and sowed the tares among the wheat
That's
which was the
word.
Good. That's what we need for nutrition, mm-hmm. but the enemy has sown chemicals and mm-hmm. and made GMO stuff, so the food, it looks like it's real.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we're not getting the nutrients that we should have.
You know, you call them fake foods. I actually changed the first letter of each. And I call it tomatoes and fukini, meaning fake tomatoes, fake, because people do not understand. It's not just your food that is genetically modified. You know, you have to buy organic cotton if you want to buy, you know, your clothes. If you're getting something.
Now I hadn't thought about that with the clothes.
They genetically modify cotton as well as soy and wheat and corn mm-hmm. and all these other things. It is even moving over to, farmed fish. There are some, I think it was approved a few years back by the FDA, a genetically modified version of salmon.
They've been doing that, and restaurants have been serving it. I call it the fake salmon.
Yeah.
They have been breeding salmon with non-real salmon.
It's sad. You have to be very careful. I tell people all the time, your health is being held hostage. And
absolutely.
The prices that you pay is basically like a ransom. Are you willing to pay? Can you afford to pay in order to live the healthy and fit version of your life that you were supposed to? And it's sad, but you've got to go looking for the places that, you know, are using real seeds to grow your foods that aren't.
Right.
Another thing that they do that people don't realize, and this one I read about on the World Health Organization. Page.
When
you come, you know, they were talking about the discussion whether or not GMO foods are healthy. And so on the World Health Organization's page, they had a response listed and they explained it. It was deemed that the genetically modified crops weren't a problem for human beings because, and I'll just explain to you this in a quick synopsis what they said. Mm-hmm. And the way they genetically modified the crops that this particular article was referring to is they some kind of way engineered the pesticide into the seed so that as the mm-hmm. crop grew, the pesticide grew with the crop. And it mm-hmm. was a neurotoxin that mm-hmm. was detrimental to the insects that would feed on the crop, but it was harmless to humans. I'm like, there is no, you got a neurotoxin that messes with the insects, but not the people. No, I won't be eating that.
Like the scripture says, an enemy has done this.
Yes.
While we slept, you know, the enemy has done this. Our bodies cannot I mean, God has so miraculously created our bodies, but our bodies weren't created to handle all these chemicals. Now, if our immune system is strong, our immune system is powerful. It can fight off illness and dis-ease. It really can. It's that powerful. But what they've done, they sort of stripped our immune system with the GMOs and the chemicals so that our immune system can't fight as powerfully as it was created to.
And that's the thing, you know, people don't realize, you know, it's a real true statement when they say, you know, what do I have to do to be healthy? You know, it's said as a joke, but it's not funny. they say don't eat the food and don't drink the water. And it's sad because, I think it was the EPA, it was either the EPA or the FDA that, actually set out a statement a few months back, in all the major, papers, news organizations that our water is contaminated with PFAS. For those of you who don't know what PFAS is, basically they are nicknamed forever chemicals
and forever
they have been
chemicals.
Found everywhere on the planet. Our water, is infected with it. Our, farmland. They've even found it in the oceans and on Mount Everest. Because it's in plastics. Basically, anything that is plastic or made of plastic has, very often, gonna contain some form of PFAS. And there are thousands of chemicals in that class of PFAS.
Yes.
And they affect your body in so many different ways. And not just us. But they are affecting our environment. For instance, they keep animals from reproducing. So they affect fertility, not just in human beings, but in animals. And they affect your body's natural, systems, like your metabolism. And they can affect, the neurological functions, especially, when you have a developing baby, they can even affect your, the development of a child. Growing up within you. But this is the funny thing, you know, you think, okay, well, food packaging, we know that that's a big problem. Let's change it. For instance, there was a very successful campaign to get PFAS, the PFAS BPS, I'm sorry, BPA out of bottles for babies. So that worked. But now they started using BPS instead of BPA. So if there are so many different chemicals, they just switch them out. The other problem is, it's not just in your food packaging. People don't realize that you wear plastic. Polyester is plastic. And so whenever you're wearing something that's wrinkle resistant, that's fire resistant, that's water resistant, all that stuff has PFAS in it to make it resistant, to those things. And there are other forms of it too. So it's in your sheets. Your comforters, your clothes, anything that you've got that's made out of some form of plastic, including the clothes that you wear, the shoes and socks on your feet.
Yes.
You are getting it in so many different ways. So that's why you have to look for the organic label when you're, you know, going out to buy, you know, your clothes. You gotta buy cotton. You gotta buy linen. And wear those natural, types of fabrics, and they can be harder to find because when you look at something, they've manufactured the plastic in such a way that it mimics those fabrics. So you have to read the labels even when you're purchasing clothes and bedding, and it's sad, but that is the world that we are living in.
It's sad, but true.
Yeah.
And it's worse here in America.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these majority, I'd say over 90% of these chemicals that are in our food, they're banned in just about every other country.
They are. Europe especially bans things quickly.
Because they said these chemicals are carcinogenic. They cause cancers. They cause all kinds of problems that I said, at least they're concerned about the health of their people.
Exactly.
But here, Big Pharma and the FDA, they just in bed together. It's all about the money.
And the sad thing is, you know, that's not, for those of you who are listening, that's not conspiracy theory talk. In the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries class, one of the things we do is, we talk about what the Word of God has to say, and even how that translates into today. And like, for instance, Pastor Patty talking about an enemy coming in and sowing in tares among the good soil. Well, the Bible makes it really clear when it comes to taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit that there's opposition to that. And part of what the opposition does is lie to the powers that be, in order to get to you. And one of the things that they did, this was an article that I'd love to read to people taking the class. And I can't remember the news organization that reported it. It was, it's one of the reputable ones, something like Washington Post, New York Times, something along that line. But they uncovered that in the 60s, might have been the 50s, that two Harvard scientists were paid by the sugar industry to manipulate their research to point to fat being what was making Americans gain weight instead of sugar. And so for decades, because people trusted these Harvard scientists, they started saying everything needed to be low fat this, low fat that. But the, and in order to achieve that, what they would do is take the fat out of it and add sugar to make it taste good. So you want to eat it. And then they kept wondering why people were getting, the American population was getting fatter and fatter, and there was more obesity, there was more diabetes, there were more heart attacks, more strokes. And they got paid, you know, a sum of money that to us would seem, you know, small for what they did. But back then, obviously it was worth a lot more. And then they went on to work at places like the FDA and had
they're
control.
Still manipulating data.
Exactly.
They're still getting paid today to manipulate data. And yes, it's wrong, but it's about the money. And that's why we as believers, let's follow what's in scripture. But like you said earlier, there aren't enough leaders teaching people how to maintain a healthy temple.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not necessarily people's fault that they don't know, because we think we can trust, you know, the
our leaders. Exactly.
And we can't.
We cannot. And I think today's political climate is a good example of how you cannot trust every leader.
Go ahead.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I shared in my church one Sunday. We need to stop eating so much fried chicken.
Right.
I stopped eating fried chicken in August of last year. I was weaning myself away from meat and fried foods anyway. So I went cold turkey when I started learning about vegetable oils. The vegetable oils, corn oils, those are oils that are really made for vehicles, cars and trucks. And they have sort of watered them down, bleached them, and put chlorine enough so that we can consume it. But it stays in our body. It goes throughout our system. Our bodies can't process it. That's why there's so much excess inflammation. Runs our blood pressure up. Cancers are running through our bodies. And We think we're eating health. When does a vegetable make an oil? Vegetables don't even make oil. And I asked them that, what vegetable makes an oil? See, they put vegetable on it because in our minds, we're thinking healthy.
Healthy.
And it's the most unhealthy thing we can put in our bodies. And I stopped eating fried chicken. And I stood in church one day. I said, I have a whole new respect for people trying to stop drugs and alcohol.
I know, right?
And because the fight, the struggle is real.
They get struggle angry, is real. Don't they?
And I started using coconut oil, avocado. Mm-hmm. I've always used extra virgin olive oil, mm-hmm. but organic. And once we know better, we have to strive to be better and do better.
Yes.
And, you know, the vegetable oils, they clog up our arteries. Mm. They cause so many issues within our bodies. Mm. And I'm telling you, the struggle was real. Even with candy, the chemicals they put in candy, the titanium dioxide that makes it shiny for Skittles and M&M's, that, and I held up a bag of Skittles and I said, y'all know I love Skittles. But I'm like detoxing.
I believe the state of California actually just passed legislation to ban Skittles and some other
other
foods that use a chemical that in that is toxic.
But you know what? These companies, and it's only 10 food companies that make all the food in America.
And that's scary when you think about how few people, and it, and if you think about how many companies control the seeds on the planet, there are only a handful of those. It's almost a monopoly for
it is.
For these,
but these
people,
the candy companies now, they make a different batch of candy for other countries. Mm. Mm. I started shopping in some Asian markets. Several months ago. So I went in the candy aisle and I looked at, I like Kit Kats. I looked at the Kit Kats and I took a picture of it. The strawberry Kit Kats, you know, the Asian markets, they get a lot of their food from their countries and they ship it over here. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, well, their Kit Kats, the strawberry ones have beet juice and strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
Our Kit Kats here in America that the company makes for here, they got red dye number 40, red dye, yellow dye. They have some chemicals I can't pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, how come we can't get what they get?
Right. It's a chemistry set. You basically consume a chemistry set when you eat American.
Yes.
And it's sad. And you really do have to look at the label to see.
You do.
If you can read the ingredients, and I tell everybody, you know, I know that learning to lose weight is hard. And so it happened for me in gradual steps. First, I had to eat the way the Lord told me to, but then over time, he showed me more and more and more. And one of the things he showed me was that I needed to start buying organic, produce. When I look at the organic produce, it's just has what that is. You know, there's nothing else included in it. And
that's,
you know,
when I
buy other things, you know, to make sure that it has non-GMO certified on it or organic on it. So I truly do want people to recognize that this is a step in you becoming healthy and fit. So while I don't want to overwhelm you, I do want you to know that is a part of it. You need to first, you know, like Sister Patty did, figure out how to get off the drug of fried food and sugar and all of that.
It took much prayer.
I know, right? Look, you look preaching to the choir. You are preaching to the choir. I completely get it. But people have gotten angry with me for likening, you know, this to an addiction, but they have made it really clear that sugar is just as addictive as a lot of street drugs that you can get. It is.
It is.
And when people start to detox, they go into withdrawal.
Yes. And these, a lot of fast food places.
Yep.
They spray chemicals even on their fries, on their burgers, they spray chemicals and it hits a spot in the brain that cocaine hits. That's why people become addicted to certain fast foods because they put chemicals in their food so that you can become addicted to it. And sugar is one of them. Mm-hmm. Why we need sugar on French fries?
Why you need sugar on bread? I mean, they put sugar on cheese. If you read the labels, you've got sugar yes. in just about everything. And there was yes. another article that I'd like to read to the class. The food industry admitted some of the people in the industry admitted that they hired chemists or whatever to put mm-hmm. a certain amount of sugar in their products and then tested to see what was too much and what was too little so that people mm-hmm. would come back and purchase more and more of that product. Folks, this is a serious industry. They are not playing yes. with you when it comes right. to getting you hooked on their food.
The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy our spirit, our soul, and our physical body.
Amen.
Because then they can control us.
Preach.
And these chemicals weaken our immune system. Mm. I started eating, once I started buying more organic foods, mm-hmm. and I still, even with them, I soak my vegetables and fruits. I still soak them in vinegar water mm-hmm. and baking soda. Mm-hmm. And let them sit in there to get off the extra pesticides. I said, now, if it's growing in the same field, you know, some of that stuff the wind might have blown.
Right.
So I still soak it in vinegar, white vinegar, and mm-hmm. baking soda, because if you buy the spray wash, that's all that's in it. Mm-hmm. Save yourself some money. Get you some white vinegar.
Exactly.
And some baking soda and put it in warm water. And I do that for all my vegetables that mm-hmm. I buy. And I do buy organic. Mm-hmm. I started eating earlier this year, well, the end of last year, ginger every day. I eat garlic mm-hmm. every day. I have mm-hmm. turmeric and I put the pepper in it. I make my mm-hmm. own tea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do feel so much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say I don't want fried chicken.
I know, right? Don't lie. We don't have to lie about it.
But I said, okay. Now for Lent this year, I fasted from meat.
Mm, okay.
So, and you know, on Sundays, you can eat whatever you fasted from because mm-hmm. Sundays aren't included in Lent. Mm-hmm. But when Resurrection Day came, somebody said, well, Pastor Patty, what you gonna have for dinner for Resurrection? I said, I'm gonna have a steak, fried chicken, pork chop, and pastry.
That's my free day, so I'm gonna be free indeed. Pastor Patty, I have kept you, we're running out of time and I have not even talked to you about
what we're supposed to be talking about.
But I knew it. I mean, look, this is what it was like the first time we talked. First time I ever talked to you. This is what it was like. Because it's just a blessing to meet somebody who is in leadership, who gets it, and who passes the knowledge on.
I'm concerned about the body of Christ. Yeah,
yes.
I am.
Yes.
And being a hospital chaplain and with my ministry, Grief Relief Ministries, I'm concerned about people being healed. Mm-hmm. From grief, bereavement.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many unhealed people in the pew.
Exactly. And
physically and emotionally.
And the sad thing about it is a lot of what we are talking about really does relate to Grief Relief Today yeah. ministries because we are prematurely burying people who yes. otherwise wouldn't have had a heart attack, who wouldn't have had yes. a stroke, who wouldn't have lost limbs, gone blind, or being in diabetic
yes.
comas.
Yes.
And then you are left with the fallout of that,
yes.
mourning those people. But then not only that, dealing with the legacy they left behind because you have learned mm-hmm. what they taught you. And so,
yes.
you know, a lot of the time people are headed down that same road that Big Mama, you know,
people have, when I've had grief support groups, when I've had forums, even in churches, people say, well, you know, and it's been said for years, we have generational curses. I said, no, we have generational ways of eating.
All right.
Which creates a curse.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you stop eating the way Big Mama used to cook with all the fat back and all the grease in the little pan that we kept from the bacon, and we put it on our green beans and put butter in it. Now, I'm not messing with butter because butter makes everything better. But,
got to have that butter.
But sometimes we feel like, well, we're dishonoring Big Mama or our foreparents because we're not eating the way that they taught us to cook. Mm-hmm. And I believe my mother would be proud of me now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've learned better, so I'm doing better, so I'm healthier.
Right.
Why stay stuck in bondage in Egypt when God has given you not just a promised land, a land of promises, but I want to stay back in Egypt where I was in bondage and in slavery to the fried chicken, enslaved to stuff that's killing me.
Exactly.
When you can really have life in that more abundantly, eating healthier.
Yes, yes.
So that's, you know, this change caused a change in my mindset as well, because I can look at different foods and say, nah, we're not going to have that. It's going to mess up our body. I'm in it to win it for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And people used to tell me when years ago and when I pastored, well, Pastor Patty, I'm waiting for the Lord to take these cigarettes from me. I said, he ain't give them to you.
What are you doing? You got to exercise your faith.
You can't live in a smoke-filled room. How you expect the Holy Spirit to stay in a smoke-filled room? It's your choice. And just like it was a struggle for me to stop eating certain foods and certain candies, but I fought the good fight and I won.
In the name of Jesus. In the name
now,
of
I'm not going to say I'll never have another piece of fried chicken because I think maybe once a month I might start having just to see. But you know what? The Lord will take the taste away from you.
And he really will. I tell people all the time, if you had asked me before God delivered me, if I thought I would ever like marinated artichokes or avocados or broccoli or or kale, or I would have thought you were crazy. But
have you made kale chips before?
I don't make them. I do buy them.
I love them.
When I get my potato chip thing,
yeah. I'm like, okay, I make some kale chips.
Yeah.
Because I need the crunch and a tad bit of the salt. I love it.
It's delicious.
You couldn't have told me that 5 years ago.
You couldn't. And that's the thing. People do not understand that once you give your body what it needs, you will heal the disconnect that the enemy has intentionally broken with your body having a conversation with you to keep you healthy.
Yes.
And basically that's just a craving. When your body tells you, I want to eat, you know, some blueberries, you know, it may need the antioxidants to get rid of some free radicals that could be about to cause cancer in your body. You know, when your body is asking you for, you know, some spinach or some broccoli or some oranges. Well, if you just took a walk outside, the sun has caused your body to make some vitamin D. So we need to absorb this. So you need some calcium. So I need you to take in some calcium so we can keep your bones strong and we can help your immune system and all this other stuff. That is what this is doing, folks. It's a conversation.
Yes.
You get a craving and your body is asking you for something that it needs. But if you don't give it anything that it needs, if all you give it is sugar and, you know, processed foods and all this other stuff, then it's going to ask you for the drug because that's all it knows to ask you for.
Right.
But what you've gotten it addicted to. But oh my gosh, it is almost 11:50. Sister.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Look, we got to talk about grief. Grief relief today. Tell us about grief relief today ministries.
Grief relief was born out of my 30 years being a hospital chaplain. I said, churches don't have anything to help people. And I help churches to set up and maintain a grief ministry. I have books I've written, and I have some new ones coming out. You can check out the website on our radio station, www.wjil.today. WJIL stands for Where Jesus is Lord. We're 24/7 gospel radio station. We are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And amen. We talk about issues like this on there. You know, go to that website and you'll see my books, and they'll all be available May 15th. We got some new ones coming out. Mm-hmm. And the grief ministry is, that's my passion. I have grief support groups. I'm having one this Mother's Day weekend coming mm-hmm. up, because it's a bittersweet weekend for people.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So
it is.
I have one that Saturday and Sunday, and we get together, we laugh, we cry, we heal, mm-hmm. Because it's just a bittersweet weekend. So we have to talk again.
I know, right? I have such a great respect for those in the grief ministry. My mother-in-law, she wrote a book after she became a widow, and that led to her being sort of the driving force of initiating a grief ministry program at the church that she attends.
We have a segment called The Book Nook, and we interview authors. Mm-hmm. And so we have to you and I can probably talk all day.
Yes. So I'm going to have to introduce you two ladies together so that she can be on your program and talk about her book, because y'all will probably hit it off. She's an assistant minister at her church too.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes. So you guys have a lot in common. But I know that when my father passed, you know, that she had already done the work to get that ministry mm-hmm. in place. And so, having people to contact you to check on you, you know, and just mm-hmm. let you vent, you know, for a few minutes is a blessing. And I think that has to do with us having a way to not
Can
just process
I have
what's
three
going
minutes,
on.
I gotta let somebody in.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll be right back.
No problem. But I think it's also a way that we not just process the grief, but the way that we have someone with us to walk through us, to hold our hands, to get us to a point where mentally we are in a better place, as well as physically, because grief can take a toll on your body. You know, a lot of people don't eat. A lot of people don't sleep. And then some people go into a depression. Some people have other type of medical issues that affect them, not just physically but mentally. And then of course it can affect your spirit. I know people who have a hard time believing and keeping the faith when they lose loved ones. One of my dear friends just quit talking to the Lord for a while because she was just so hurt when she lost a parent. And even though it's not God's fault, people very often blame him. So having a spiritual leader, or at least, you know, a ministry in place where you have those who have, some type of biblical training to help you navigate what you are feeling, because that, you know, there are scriptures that give us such great comfort, in those times when we've lost somebody. If you've got, you know, those people on your side, and I'm not, please don't take it the wrong way. I'm not saying that you don't need other people too. There's nothing wrong with getting counseling from a therapist or, going to group sessions, you know, or even exercising or whatever it is that you need to do in your personal life to get some relief. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, I think you need to take care of the spiritual side of your grief issue, as well as the physical and the mental aspects too.
Yeah.
What do you think?
And that's what we do at Grief Relief also, because mm-hmm. we're a tripart being.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, it's so vital that we take care of ourselves, spirit, soul, and body.
You know, you've got these books. You are such a prolific writer. I was telling everybody, I'm like, she's written 16 books, y'all. but the ones about grief, fear not for those who grieve, mm-hmm. is that a collection of scriptures about,
fear not is a series. And I started with fear nots for every day. I've been the last several years researching and studying all the fear nots in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So fear nots, for those who grieve, it's basically a journal. Mm-hmm. It has some teachings because fear is real, but he hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Amen. Amen.
Now there's a reverential fear where we're in awe of God but mm-hmm. there's a fear that the enemy gives us.
Right.
That
spirit
of fear. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with grief, death of a loved one, especially nowadays with murders and suicides, people are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's brief teachings, but it's also a journal so that you can write how you're feeling. Because mm-hmm. what I want to eventually do, we do have, like I said, the Book Nook. I have online grief support groups. I want to have an online group for the books. Mm-hmm. So people can come on and say, you know, okay, I was reading in Fear Nots for Those Who Grieve, and I've experienced a lot of fear. You can be overwhelmed when you're grieving
mm-hmm.
with fear, anxiety,
mm-hmm.
because you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You've never been that way before. It's mm-hmm. uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing we have is our confidence that God will walk with us.
Right, right. You also
because
have
sometimes sometimes it's too much to think that we're holding on to God, but he will hold on to us.
Amen, amen. And you've got another series about comforting those who grieve. That's a collection of books.
And that one is a new one. Over the years, so many people said, Pastor Patty, I want to help people, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
How do I help people? And this one lady said, a coworker is coming back to work. After a few weeks, her 10-year-old daughter was killed. What do I say? How do I talk to her? Mm-hmm. And that's why I started this series. Now, the first one, Comforting Those Who Grieve, it's a basic book for those who want to start learning
mm-hmm.
how to help people who are grieving, what to mm-hmm. say, what not to say. And there's several coming after that one, but this one is one to help you get started.
Wow. Go ahead.
Sorry. Even in the church, mm-hmm. People stop coming because they're avoided.
Yep.
That's where our community of faith, people should be reaching out and embrace, but people are afraid to.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go all the way across the church behind another pew and walk out another door because mm-hmm. I don't know what to say to Sister Sally after her husband died, and for a pastor to pat you on the shoulder and say, the Lord is with you. Yeah, well, you got your spouse at 2 a.m. I don't.
Right.
So we need to give them more than just a pat on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and mm-hmm. that's what Grief Relief Ministries does. We help churches to set up and maintain grief and bereavement ministries. We have resources. I've written brochures. We go through the whole thing because it's just too many unhealed people in the pew.
And I think, you know, just looking at the title, Blessed Are They That Mourn. I mean, that in and of itself is a comforting title, even if you're hurting. So, I mean, and it makes you want to know, how is there a blessing? You know, Lord, show me, you know, what the blessing is. How are you going to be glorified in this thing?
You know, in that scripture, Matthew 5:4, and I've heard preachers say, you know, you have to be sorry for your sins, but that word mourn, blessed are they that mourn, is pentheos. And in the Greek, it means to grieve upon the death of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it just so awesome that in his preaching, in his teaching, Jesus ministered and pre-ministered to those who will be mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mourning isn't something that the Bible shies away from. It's not. From Abraham mourning Sarah, and when Moses died, the Lord stopped them for 30 days so they could grieve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that lets us know when somebody dies, yeah, we have to stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that we can allow God to heal us.
Right.
When Moses died, they didn't just, God didn't say, all right, come on, keep a stiff upper lip. Let's keep it moving.
Exactly.
He stopped them mm-hmm. for 30 days so that they could heal.
Mm.
So when Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, that grieve, that are hurt, that are sorrowing, you're going to be comforted. Parakletos, Holy Spirit, he will comfort us. He said, I won't leave you childless.
Amen.
I'm going to come to you.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The blessing is that his divine presence is still with us.
Amen.
The issue is we think he's left us. People think I'm suffering because I did something wrong, or, you know, the Lord wouldn't have taken my spouse or my child, or I wouldn't have this illness. I must have done something wrong. I wouldn't have. And we think God is no longer in the blessing business on our behalf. Well, this kind of takes that out the window. You're still blessed even though you're crying. You're still blessed even though you're hurting. God's still blessing you even though your loved one has gone. You're still blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
You're just walking through a valley that God is walking through it with you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, and we are out of time. Oh, I knew it would happen. Look, I already love Pastor Patty. Y'all can tell, right?
And I love talking to you too. We connected when we met. I think we almost took over the other show, right?
We did. But poor Marie, we kind of overtalked her for a while.
And it was her show.
All right. The good news is it was after the show. It was the end, but we stayed on about another hour. But yes, we did connect, and I truly do appreciate everything you do. We have got to have you back probably sooner rather than later so people can really learn more about what you have to say about grief, because you're a wealth of knowledge there too. And I kind of kept you on my side of the wheelhouse a little too much.
But you know what? It all balances out.
It does.
So now I have to have you on WJIL Today, our gospel station. We do a lot of talking on there. They'll probably be texting me when you're getting back to the music.
Speaking of that, how can they, you know, listen to your radio station? How can they get your books and otherwise get what you have to offer from Grief Relief Today Ministries?
We're kind of narrowing things down and shifting things around, but the radio station is www.wjil.today. Not .com or not .org, because it means WJIL, where Jesus is Lord today.
Amen.
There's always a method to my crazy madness.
Look, it ain't crazy. Look, the foolishness of the Lord is better than the wisdom of man every day. All right,
so
folks.
They go to the website, and you'll see our newest broadcast, which is for veterans, at the top. But scroll down, and you'll see the arrow in a circle, and you can click on there. There's a spot on there that says Grief Relief, the book nook where all my books are. Mm-hmm. They'll be available for purchase on May 15th, 2023, because we took them all off the market, but we're putting them back on. We wanted to redo covers and stuff.
Awesome.
And, and we're adding new ones. The Comforting Those Who Grieve, we're adding new titles. So, WJIL.today. And I started an Instagram. We just started, I think, last night. Grief Relief Today. I'll probably put my first reel up on Monday.
I need to friend you on there. But thank you for being with us. So we had a wonderful time. Y'all, oh my gosh, we'll have Pastor Patty back because she just got to come back. But now it's time for the Teens Talk Truth Radio show.
Oh, okay.
Hosted by
my
favorite.
Thank you for this opportunity. Love you,
welcome.
My sister.
Love you too. Love you too, lady. And you guys don't want to miss it. AJ and Alex are going to talk about hot topics affecting teens in society today. And you know I don't know what will come out of my children's mouth. Pastor Patty, you know that.
I know. They're awesome, though. They're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
They're doing a good work.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
I'm proud of them.
Thank you. All right, folks. You enjoy your Saturday. Oh, and I want to wish everybody out there a happy early Mother's Day because next weekend, I will be off for Mother's Day. I'm going to enjoy my weekend. So you guys enjoy your weekend too and be blessed in the Lord. Okay, William, you can talk about me now for being off. I know you're going to be mad.
Yeah, already. Yeah. This is about the 13th or 14th week this year already, right?
No, it is not, William. Stop it.
No,
Come on, William, be nice.
Pastor Patty, I'm always nice, but it's your sister Ann that keeps doing this to me.
What? William, it is hard to get a guest to work the day before Mother's Day. So I talk to the Lord about it, and he's like, don't deal with that. Uh-huh. So I don't. I take the weekend.
Yeah, Mother's Day, birthdays, St. Patrick's Day.
William, it's called an off day. The Lord ordains rest too.
Even he's had a day off. So the servant is not greater than her Lord.
All right.
He gets a day off too.
Okay.
He might need 2 days off.
I should have known better about saying anything. Two against one. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, okay. Brother, you
just
lost before the game started.
Oh boy.
We love you too.
Love you too, dear. And now, if you want to hear more of Ann, check her out tomorrow evening for the Boomerang Radio Show. 3 p.m. on the East Coast, on the West Coast. 5 Central and 6 Mountain Time. Tomorrow, Ann, you know what we're going to talk about? Artificial intelligence.
Well, we're talking about AI.
Yeah, we're talking about AI. We aren't done with that. Right. Is it good? Is it bad? Hey, you be the judge of that. But anyway, thank you so much, Pastor Patty, and great show as usual. And Teens Talk Truth is coming up right after this, ladies and gentlemen, on Studio W Buzz, studiowbuzz.com. Available on Alexa, Spotify, iTunes. Also, feel free to download one of our free apps on Android. Just go to your Play Store and download Studio W. Apple is studio.w. Hey, see you on the other side. Hey, have a great day. All right, everyone. Enjoy.